say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see. Go ahead.
There you go, Cassie. Open it up.
And bury me.
Open it.
But soon one day I will be free. Accustomed to certain things, and we try our best to do what we can while we can.
Amen.
We are thankful to the Lord our God, and we just give him glory and honor and just thank him for an opportunity to do anything for him at any given time. And you know, I've learned through ministry to do what you can while you can. And a lot of times we find ourselves apologizing for this, that, and the other, but just do what you can and just keep on moving. Keep on moving, for the Lord is worthy this morning. We have had a wonderful week in the Lord this week, and we're just thankful to God for all that he has done and is yet still doing. We thank God this morning for this beautiful sunshine and for all of these great people that God has put in this place on this given day. Truly, the Lord is worthy of our praises. We do say, as I stand this morning, we are saddened this morning. We agree because a part of our family has left us. Deacon C.W. Davis, who passed on Friday. And we do know that we thank God for parts of his family that have come even this morning to see us share in our worship experience. But we know that your hearts may be heavy, but our hearts are heavy as well. We would like to announce that his homegoing celebration will be Saturday, 1 o'clock visitation to 2, and the service will begin at 2. That's Saturday, 1 to 2, and the funeral service will begin at 2. So we are thankful to God for what he is going to do for this family. You know, they've been there before, we've been there, and we all have to go there. But one thing about it is because of a great day like today, hallelujah, death just don't seem to have the significance that it used to have. If you die a believer, then you got a lot to look forward to. If you are not a believer and you are yet still counted amongst the living, then now is a good time for you to get on the other side and become a believer. Now, how many of us would like to agree that in being a believer does not make you perfect? But we thank God that it puts you on the other side. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you have your Bibles this morning, we'd like to move along. We thank God again for all of you that have come and come to share this morning. We do hope that and pray that after coming, that you will hear something that will lead you or lean you closer to the power of a mighty God. Amen. The gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter, verses 13 through 15 reads as thus. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Supporting scripture this morning, coming from Paul's writing to the Romans 12:1. Very familiar passage that reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And also, St. John 19:30, that you've already heard in your hearing. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Based on those verses, we like to use a thought of subject this morning. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. God is good to all of us this morning. We're thankful to God for his goodness and his grace and his mercy. And we thank God again for allowing us to be in this place. Well, it's only by his grace and his mercy that God has allowed us this opportunity to share on this another Easter Sunday morning, celebrating the victory of our Savior's resurrection when he defeated death and took away its sting and took all power from death. For we are thankful that he lives forever and all power is yet still in the hands of a mighty God. He is the one that the word refers to in Revelations 1:18 when it tells us, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. So we are talking about one that has lived, died, and he yet still lives again. Remember that he suffered and died not for any wrong that he had done, but he died for our iniquities and our shortcomings. The Lord was reminding us that there is no need to be afraid because he did what no other human being can do. He died and came back to life. Only a God is able to do that. And all that believe will die a physical death, but shall yet be forever alive with him. So we have learned that even though death is hurting sometimes and it grieves us, we know that because of being a believer in the resurrection of Jesus, that death is not the end. It is good to know that we got more than just the end. We got more than just going to the gravesite. We realize that after it's all said and done, that we shall forever live with God. And if we live with him, we'll find that everything will just fall into place. That there's so many things that we try to do on this side of life. And a lot of times it work out. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But one thing we do know is that when Jesus went to Calvary, everything worked out for our good. As a believer, it should have significance and it should have some meaning to us. When we began to think about Calvary, we ought to think about what God has done for us. It's at this blessed time of year that we join in with others sharing the good news about that baby that we were talking about during the Christmas season. All right. Born in a manger in Bethlehem and came to save us from our sins. Yeah.
And from the time of his birth, some 33 years later, he completed his journey to the cross. And you know, we all have heard in the Word of God say every man got a cross to bear, and we ought to be able to bear our cross. But a lot of us, we are so thin-skinned, and we just can't take very much. But when we began to think about what the Lord has done for us, we think about what he allowed to happen to himself just for us. And we know that when he made that journey to the cross, he made the ultimate sacrifice when he laid down his life for his friends. Hallelujah, Jesus. In obedience to the law, there had to be bloodshed for cleansing and forgiveness. And throughout the days of the children of Israel, they always had to kill animals and bring burnt offerings and bring them to the altar as their sacrifice, which was something that, because of life and sin, had to be repeated over and over again. So are we not glad that now that we are living in the time of grace, now that we are living after the resurrection of Jesus, when Jesus shed his blood on Calvary, it made it possible that we could be saved, that it made it possible that he made that ultimate sacrifice for us, so we don't have to go back and offer burnt offerings. All we have to do is believe in the power of Jesus the Christ, the one that laid down his life for his friends. When Jesus shed his blood for us, he only had to do it once. And we are thankful because when he did that, it forever covers us as believers. We celebrate Easter today as we include Jesus in our thoughts. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. Now, first of all, let us have more than just the zeal of God and know for ourselves, young and old, who Jesus is. You see, in order for you to get anything out of Calvary, to get anything out of this Easter season, to get anything out of life itself, to have peace of mind, you got to know who Jesus is. Now, it's all right that somebody told you and you heard about him. And we even have children that can see a picture or an image and they say, that's Jesus. But we know that that's not Jesus. But we also got to realize that every one of us got to have an introduction. We got to have an introduction with the Lord. We got to know God for ourselves. It's good to know that somebody prayed for me and my mama prayed for me and my mama knew the Lord. But do you know God for yourself? We saw all of our children come in here this morning, and that was just a portion of them and all these other children that are in here. Has anybody told them about Jesus? To let them know that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus is the only thing that we really can depend on that will always be right there. We need to know him for ourselves. We need to know that can't nobody do you like the Lord. You know, a lot of times you like to think that I did this and I did that and I'm going on my way. But I found out that you can't do anything without the Lord. For the Bible declares, how could I move? I wouldn't even have my being if it wasn't for the power of God. You know, we love to talk about how good God is whenever it's an occasion where we are happy. But what about those times when we are down and out? What about those times when we are going through? Are we still able to say that God is a good God? What about those times when we have death in the family? Are we able to receive that and accept God as his will and his way? And then know that the Lord God will do what nobody else is able to do. He made that sacrifice despite for us, despite ourselves. So considering that we know who Jesus is, also let us look now at our theme this morning. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. Well, now, ultimate means the highest or most significant, the last or final conclusive. So when you're talking about ultimate, you're not talking about just a little anybody. You're just not talking about going a little ways, but you're talking about going the extra mile. You ever heard somebody say, I've been over backwards? You ever heard somebody say, I don't have very much, but I'll give you half of what I got? You ever heard somebody sometime or another, every now and again, there are folk that are there for you that don't have what you actually need, but they'll make a sacrifice for you because they love you. So we began to think about if we can make a sacrifice for one another out of friendship and out of love, what do you think about God's love for us? Now we don't deserve all that God has done for us. We sit in here like God owes us something this morning. But if you begin to think about where the Lord has brought you from, if you begin to think about all of your yesterdays when you wasn't dotting your I's and you wasn't crossing your T's and you were talking about one another and you wasn't lifting up the name of Jesus, God was still watching over you. If you think about those times when you say that I got weak in my body and Lord, where was you? Well, they tell me that the footsteps tells us that God carries us. When the load gets so heavy that we can't do it on our own. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? That time in the midnight hour when you know that you're going through and you've been talking to God all night long, but it just don't seem like you can get no peace. But somewhere in the wee mornings of the hour, that finger of love touches your mind or touch your heart and lets you know that everything is going to be all right. God is a God that loves us so much that he allowed his son to go and die in our stead. So the main point that I'm trying to let you know this morning that Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. A sacrifice. A giving up of something valuable or important. Something or somebody offered to honor or appease God. A sacrifice. A loss incurred by giving away or selling something below its value. You know, sometimes you want to help somebody, but you just don't want to give it to them. So you say that I'll let you have it for this amount. You know that it's worth much more than that. But because you love them, you're going to make the sacrifice that I'll take the loss so that you can have. So now, if you apply that to what Jesus has done for us. Jesus had done no wrong. Jesus was the one that could have just said, well, no, I'm not going to go through all of this. But that was not the case. There are those of us that have heard many testimonies. If Jesus had come down off the cross, where would we be this morning? Just think about it for a moment. You know, we take it very lightly that because it happened a long time ago and we've been having Easter for a lot of years now. So we done got so accustomed to Easter that we forgot about what it's all about. This should be a time that Christians ought to be excited. We ought to came in the door bubbling this morning on fire for the Lord because Jesus got up out the grave. How many of you know that it's more than just a mere word? It ought to mean something to you to say that my Savior got up on that third day. Some of us act like we're going to be here always. But I know that we're not going to be here always because I've been to too many grave sites. And I realize that the Bible says appointed unto me also a day that I'm going to have to die. So now when it comes my time to die, I want to know that I made some sacrifices in my life that will be pleasing to God. See, the problem is so many times we try to please one another. But it's time out for making a whole bunch of friends down here that all we going to be is down here. But I want some buddies that want to go to heaven. I want some co-partners that want to get out of this place and go to a better place. Anybody happy down here? I'm happy. But I know that there's a better place. And I'm not homesick either. See, that there's some other things that I'd like to see, but if it's not in God's will, it'll be all right. You sweat yourself about stuff that you don't even have no control over. If you learn how to take care of what you already got, then you can stop worrying the Lord about giving you some more. You got to take care of what he already gave you. Main point I'm trying to make this morning is Jesus was obedient to the will of God. And the only reason was because of his love. He paid the ultimate price as a ransom for our sins. Yes, and all because he loves us. John 3:16 teaches us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, Jesus said God so loved the world. So God's love for the world was so great that he gave his only begotten son in the person of Jesus the Christ. That whosoever, red, black, white, any color, poor, rich, don't matter what you got, what side of track you on, what title is before your name, you can be one of those that they consider to be a nobody. But to that nobody, it's God to God, you are somebody. See, a whole lot of folk may look down on you. But the God I serve, when he looked down and grabbed and waited on you to reach up your hand. Anybody ever been pulled up out of the dirt and the mud? That same love that lifted us. Songwriter said when we were sinking in sin. It was that love that the Bible declared that covers a multitude of sins. Love is God and God is love. And it tells us in our text this morning to abide in his love. To keep his commandments. You see, a lot of times we want to do things our own way. But if we're going to enjoy Jesus today, let us also enjoy one another. You see, the Bible tells us this morning, when we look here, it says that as the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even if I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. Now, this is Jesus speaking. That ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, if you know that God loves you, then God is telling you this morning, love one another. Don't love them with a selfish love. Don't love them with a conditional love. But love them as I love you. I love you without respect to persons. I love you because you are you. I love you because I made you from the dust of the ground. I love you because I realized that I had to create something, and I created something in my own image. And I love what I created. So now the Bible said that he loved us so much that greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, 14 says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. He just gave you a command. Love one another. Simple. And we make it complicated. Love one another. Through the thick and through the thin. Love one another. Even when you can't see eye to eye. Love one another. Even if it's seemingly that somebody stabbed you in your back. Learn how to love one another. Because Jesus said, love your enemy. And see, if you learn how to love your enemy, that's one thing the enemy can't stand. Enemy can't stand good treatment. Enemy can't stand you saying hello. Enemy can't stand a smile on your face. Enemy can't stand when they think that they got the best of you and think you're going to do the wrong thing, that you have a hush mouth. Anybody that learned how to keep your mouth closed? You know, we heard somebody say that the Lord will fight your battle. But have God fought anybody's battle in here this morning? Is anybody in here really trusting in Jesus? Daniel sing a song sometimes that said, Jesus is my friend. Then the hymn that said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sin and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. See, I come by to let somebody know this morning that I got a friend, and my friend loved us so much that he laid down his life. He gave his life for us. And I'm reminded of a song that William sang. Say, I owe God a praise. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? You ought to know that you owe God a praise. If you know that God got done anything for you, if he picked you up out of your dirt, if he made a way out of no way, then you know that you owe God a praise. You ought to praise him while you have a chance. You ought to praise him because he is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And I stop by to tell somebody that you ought to believe in the power of God on this Resurrection Sunday morning. I thank God for Holy Week. I thank God that it started on last Sunday. On Palm Sunday, as he came into the city of Jerusalem, everybody was crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. They were praising God. Say, blessed is the man that cometh in the name of the Lord. But by the week's end, they were crying another tune. Crucify him. Crucify him. Don't you know that some of the same folk that'll lift you up on Monday, they'll tear you down on Thursday. Some of the same folk that you walk with, talk with, and thought that they were your friends, or turned their back on you. But when you began to think about Holy Week, the Lord God done a whole lot for all of us. But when he got into Jerusalem, he made everything all right. And the Bible said that they were just cheering him on. They were just having all a good time, making all kinds of noise. And then in the evening time, the Bible says he departed and went to Bethany. Well, after he came out of Bethany the next morning, he cursed the fig tree. He went to the temple and he had to clean house. For he realized that they made his house not a house of prayer, but a den of thieves. Turn over the tables, bring the money changers out. Don't you know that's the kind of God we serve? God don't like no mess in his house. On Tuesday, he sent and made the necessary preparation to get ready for the Passover. And then he had some of the Sanhedrin leaders to question his authority. Wanted to know, how do you have this power? Who gave you this authority to do this, that, or the other? But I thank God for Jesus. He got all power in his hand. He don't have to answer to nobody. Well, they tell me that on Wednesday, he wept for the city. He wept for the people. He suffered and he was betrayed by a friend. One that sat and dipped in the same ditch that ate with him. And he believed that he got sold out for 30 pieces of silver. That's a shame that somebody would sell the Lord out for just a few bit of coin. Blood money is not good money. Blood money won't spend well. That's why Judas couldn't spend that money. It messed up his mind. He realized that I done the wrong thing. For I turned my back on my friend. On Thursday, when they had the Passover meal, he instituted the Passover. He was arrested and given a mock trial. But early in the morning, they had another trial. And they began to say, early in the morning, 6 a.m., time to try Jesus. They began to say everything they could about him. Pulled them all apart. There was some that wanted to let him go. But there was others that said, crucify him. The Bible said that it wasn't but a few hours later that they had already made their mind up. We're going to crucify this man. When they crucified the Lord, I thank my God, that he had everything under control. Well, I thank God this morning that when I look at the Bible tells us that as he went on his way, hallelujah, Jesus, there was at the cross, called the place of a skull, called the place of Golgotha. They began to name him King of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. But the Bible said that the title read many of the Jews, the place where Jesus was crucified. But I want to let you know that it's almost time for the Lord to make the ultimate sacrifice. There were those that stood at the bottom of the cross. They tell me his mother was there. His mother's sister was there. Mary Magdalene was there. Cleopas was there. And when Jesus saw that they were there, he said, that is my mother. You are my brother. And one of them took his mother home. Said, I'll make everything all right. But now get this. When Jesus therefore began to get a little thirsty, he didn't ask for anything. He just said, I thirst. And the Bible said that they got a sponge and they put it in the vinegar, put the vinegar up to his mouth. And when he got the vinegar to his mouth, he said, it is finished. Bowed his head. Gave up the ghost. That was the ultimate sacrifice. He completed his mission of redemption. But don't you know that they came by, and the Bible said that one of the soldiers took a sword, a spear, and pierced him in his side, and blood and water came streaming down. And you want to talk about the blood? I come to tell somebody that can't nothing wash away your sin but the blood of the Master. But I want to challenge you this morning. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. But I want to know, what kind of sacrifice are you going to make for the Lord? David said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I want to know, is there anybody in here that is willing to offer back something to the Lord for what the Lord has done for you? Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable of God. I want to let you know this morning that it's time for you to get up and do something for the Lord. Stop sitting around like he owe you something. Do know that God is on your side and he made the ultimate sacrifice. But is there anybody in here that want to make a sacrifice, want to give up themselves? Or are you just going to stay composed? You know, a lot of us, we like to have everything in order. We don't like to get our hair out of place. We don't want your makeup to run. But when you think of the goodness of Jesus and all that the Lord God has done, it ought to move something down on the inside. Paul said, I will offer my body as a living sacrifice. So in other words, while I got breath in my body, while the blood is yet running warm, I want to be a servant of the Most High God. And not only am I going to be a servant, but if I serve God with all that I got, I found out that I'm a friend. I got a friend in Jesus the Christ. What a friend! What a friend! What a friend I got in Jesus. Anybody got that friend? Anybody know him as your Savior? Anybody glad about Jesus? Even though he hung there on Friday. But early, early, early Sunday morning, the Bible said, when they looked in the tomb, he was not there. He is the one that can say, I am he that was dead, but I am alive forevermore. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. I don't care what you give, how much money you pay, how much time you go out on missions. Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice. And then Paul challenges us that if we would offer our bodies. Now, just a few weeks ago, I preached about tithe. But now, one thing we do know, money can't buy freedom. Money can't buy your religion. Money can't do anything but what it does. It's a trade-off. And so now, the business side of the church needs money. But more importantly, the spiritual side of the church needs servants, need friends of Jesus, need people that are willing to have that intimate relationship with him so that they can say the Lord is my shepherd. They can have that intimate relationship with him so that they can know that whenever I call on the name of the Lord, he will come to my rescue. For he made that ultimate sacrifice. And if somebody asks you, why do you go like you go? You ought to tell them, because God loved me so much that he died in my stead. So all I can give back is myself. That's all I can give back. And when you give God your service, hallelujah, in whatever fashion it may be, find you something to do for kingdom building. Jesus being that ultimate sacrifice for us. Then when we think about Calvary and you think about Easter Sunday, hallelujah, it's more than just another day of the week. It's more than just another holiday. And if you notice, I made very sure that I stayed with Jesus today. Now, I got some eggs dyed at the house for the kids. But I'm going to tell them about Jesus. If Jesus wouldn't have made that chicken, chicken couldn't have had the egg. And we wouldn't have no boiled eggs. So you can't get away from Jesus. I don't care how you try. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. So when you talk about God, you're talking about Jesus. You can't separate them. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice for all mankind. And it's up to us to receive him, to believe in him, and to know that he lives.